Okay, so we're on Daf Hey today. Daf Hey. So I'll begin around 10 lines down or 8 lines down in Daf Hey Amud Aleph. So we were discussing the Pasuk, Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbitzus Or Mibateichem. On the first day, you should dispose of the chametz. So the Gemara had a limud yesterday to teach me that it really meant on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara has, meaning the chiv of Bir Chametz is on Erev Pesach. And now the Gemara has other limudim to prove to me that that's what the Pasuk means. So I'm going to begin from Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, around 8 or 10 lines down. Last word on learning is Debei. One second. Okay. So the Gemara says, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, a brisa was taught in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, Matzinu Arba Asar Shnikra Rishon. We find that the 14th of Nisan is called Rishon. He says, Shenemar Barishon B'Arba Asar Yom LaChodesh. So the Pasuk says in Parshat Bo, Barishon B'Arba Asar Yom LaChodesh. So the Gemara takes it, the way the Gemara is darshaning out, on the Rishon day, which is the 14th day of the month. Now, this Pshuto Shel Mikra is, it means in the first month, which is Nisan, on the 14th day of that month. But the article said it should normally say B'chodesh HaRishon. It doesn't say B'chodesh HaRishon. So the Gemara has a raya there that the word Rishon refers explicitly to the 14th of Nisan. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rishon Demei Kara Mashma. Now, Rav Nachman, this raya is going to take around 20, 30 lines. Let me just let some people in. It says, again, we're around 10 lines down on Hey Amud Aleph. He says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Rishon Demei Kara Mashma. He says, the word Rishon means like before the first day is Rishon. He says, the Amar Kra HaRishon Adam Tibaleid. So the quotes of Pasuk from Eov. Eov is the book of Job. So Eov is like, God is tainas, Hashem is punishing him. So one of his friends is Eliphaz HaTemani. So Eliphaz HaTemani says to Eov, HaRishon Adam Tibaleid. Were you there before man was created? So Rishon doesn't mean first the way we're thinking of it. It means like before things get started, HaRishon. In other words, like before it even gets started, HaRishon Adam Tibaleid. So that's the Gemara I want to say. So it says, Ach Bayom HaRishon means before the first day of Yontiv, you're going to destroy the Chametz. So the Gemara says, Elameata ulkachtem lechem bayom rishon hachinam rishon to be karmashma. So what are you going to do with the pasuk in Parshat Emor? We're around 15 lines down on him and Aleph. Welcome there. So it says that ulkachtem lechem bayom harishon. It's talking about lulav and esrog. You'll take it on the first day, is the way we normally translate it. Hachinam rishon to be karmashma. Does that mean before the first day yantiv, you're going to take the lulav and esrog and erev yantiv? He says, Shani Hatam Dechibu Smach Telephane Hashem Okechem Shivat Yamim. So the Gemara says it's different because the Pasuk then concludes, Usmach Telephane Hashem Okechem Shivat Yamim. You should rejoice before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days. It means in the base of Mikdash, you'll wave Lulav and Esrog for 7 days. Mashvi Shvi Lachag. Just like the 7th day is the day of Yantiv, the Gemara says, Af Rishon Rishon Lachag. So in context, that Bayom HaRishon means the first day of Yontiv, the Gemara wants to say. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? But Hachanam Iktiv, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbitu, and it says Shivat Yamim Tochelu. So the beginning of the Pasuk says, Shivat Yamim Tochelu, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbitu Sum Bateichem. So we're trying to figure out, what does HaRishon mean? So Nachman Yitzchak says, the Rishon means before the first day of Yontiv. That's HaRishon, before things begin, that's what HaRishon. So that works out well by Pesach, but by Sukkot, we said it can't mean that. So why not? Because it says, Usmach Tumfnei Hashem Okecha Shabbat Yamim. So the Gemara says, but by Pesach, we have the same thing, the same juxtaposition of the Psukim. The Psukim actually say, Shabbat Yamim Matzot Tochelu, for 7 days you should eat matzahs. Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbit Sur Bateichem. So he says, so what, you know, what's good for a Sukkot is good for Pesach. What goes for the goose is good for the gander. So if by Sukkot you're saying Rishon has got to be the first day Yantiv, so then by comparison, by analogy, by Pesach also means the first day of Yantiv. So the Gemara says, Imkin Nechtov Kro Rishon. If that's what the Pasuk meant, it wouldn't say Ach Bayom HaRishon, it would say Ach Biyom Rishon. He says, Harishon namali. Why does he say Harishon? He says, Shmamina l'chdamaran. So Harishon, that means before the first day of Yontiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but ihachi hatam nami Harishon namali. So then, but by Sukkot, it also says, l'chachtem lechem bayom Harishon. So he still doesn't get me out of the woods. In other words, he's saying, by Pesach, it doesn't say Rishon, it says Harishon. But by Sukkot, it also says Harishon. So that's one, so leave that question on the side. So when it's not working out so well by the Pasuk, by Sukkot, Ulukachtem Lacham Bayom Rishon. That's one question. For two, Hatam Ktiv, it also says in Parshat Emor, Bayom Rishon Shabbaton, Bayom Hashmini Shabbaton. By Sukkot, Bayom Harishon Shabbaton. On the first day is like Yantiv, a rest day. On the eighth day, also Yantiv. Emor Rishon Demi Karamashma. So there too, I should say, Bayom HaRishon, I should say it means before the first day of Yantiv. That's the way I should understand it. So the Gemara says, Tani Hatam De Amar Kro Uvayom HaShmini Shabbaton. So over there it says the eighth day is Yantiv. Mashmini Shmini Dechag, just like the eighth day is the eighth day of Sukkot, he says, Af Rishon Rishon Dechag. He says, so HaRishon namely, so why does it say HaRishon? We said HaRishon is like a flag. Li'uti Chol Shamoed. So that's to exclude Chol Shamoed. I mean, it's Chol Moed, there's no Easter Malacha. That's what HaRishon is coming for. So the Gemara says, Chol Shamoed may Rishon Ushmini Nafka. He says, so we know that Chol Moed is no Easter Malacha, because it mentioned the first day and the eighth day. So the Gemara says, Itzrich. No, I said to say HaRishon, Sakta Amina, Hol Dekata Brahmana Uvayom HaShmini. It doesn't say Bayom HaShmini. It says Uvayom HaShmini, on the eighth day. Again, we're talking about Shmini Atzeret. Vav Mosif Al Inin Rishon, Dafil B'Chol Shomoed. So I would think that even Chol Moed is Easter Malacha, Kamashmalan. So the Gemara wants to say that by Sukkot, again, we're taking in HaRishon. So when it says HaRishon, that's coming to teach me something unusual. So by Pesach, I got HaRishon, that I got it. That's teaching me it's before the first day of Yontif. That's HaRishon. Then by the Esrog, we didn't answer what HaRishon was teaching me. It was that we weren't able to answer up what that's teaching me. Then we said there's another HaRishon. It says, Bayom HaRishon Shabbaton, Bayom HaShmini Shabbaton. On the day HaRishon is a Shabbaton. So we said, HaRishon is to exclude Chol Shamoed. So why would I think Chol Shamoed is included anyway? So the Gemara says, because it's not the first day, it's not the eighth day. So the Gemara says, it says Uvayom HaShmini, and on the eighth day. So the Gemara says, V'lo luchtov rachmano lo vav, v'lo hey. So why did leave out the vav of Uvayom HaShmini, and leave out the hey, and then I don't need the Chiddush to teach me that Chol Shamoed is not included in the Easter Malacha. All right, that's another question. The two, question number three, Hatam Dechtiv, Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. So it says, also in Parshas Emor, in reference to Pesach, Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, the first day by Pesach is Yantiv. He says, Rishon to be Karamashma, so that should be the day before Yantiv. So again, so the Gemara is saying when it says HaRishon should normally be the day before Yantiv, day before it. But I have three HaRishons where it doesn't mean that, and I don't know what it's coming to teach me. So the Gemara says, Elahani Shlosha Rishon, Mibay Lelatani Debeb Rabishmal. So those three HaRishons, again, we have three HaRishons unaccounted for. One is by Lulav ben Esrog, Lekachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon. Then it says another HaRishon, it says, Bayom HaRishon Shabbaton, Bayom HaShmini Shabbaton. On the first day is Yantiv, and the eighth day is Yantiv by Sukkot. And then we had another HaRishon with Pesach. It said, Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. So that's necessary to teach me what was taught in the Braisa by Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanit Beit Rabbi Shmuel, a Braisa was taught in the basement of Rabbi Shmuel, Bishar Shtosha Rishon, Zahudu Shtosha Rishon. In the merit of three Rishons, the merit of observing these three mitzvot, i.e. the Arba Minim, the first day of Yantiv Sukkot, and the first day of Pesach, we're zocha for three things. Lahakrid Zaro Shel Esav, we're zocha to destroy the progeny of Esav, we'll see in a minute. Lebinyan Beit HaMikdash, to build the base of Mikdash. Ulushmo Shel Mashiach, and the name of the Mashiach, and we'll explain shortly. Lahakrid Zaro Shel Esav, Dechtiv, by Yetzei HaRishon Ad Moniku Lo Kaderet Seyar. So Esav is called Harishon. So in merit of observing the first day of Pesach, will be zocha to destroy the descendants of Esav. I'll explain in a minute. He says, "Ulubinim beit hamikdash dechtiv kisei kavod marom rishon makom mikdashenu." Kisei kavod means the. He says, like the throne of glory, exalted from at first, is the place of our sanctuary. Kisei kavod, the throne of glory, marom rishon, exalted from the first, is our beis hamikdash. Okay, so for that. For observing Sukkot, we're going to be zochin for the base of Mikdash. He says, "L'shmo shel Mashiach, for the name of the Mashiach, the thief Rishon LeTzion, hinei hinam," which is the he says the first of Zion. Behold, they are here. That's what he says. Now, he quotes in the article. He quotes in the Marsha. This is in footnote 24. So he says the Marsha finds a correlation between these three mitzvot and the three rewards. For observing Pesach properly, you know, for the Gula from Mitzrayim, the Jews will merit redemption from the sins of Esav who conquered them. In other words, if we're observing Pesach, remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from Mitzrayim, we'll be zocha to throw off the yoke of Esav. In other words, because that's like the fourth galus is Esav. Then he says, for observing Sukkot, which commemorates God's protection of the Jews in the Midbar, there'll be zocha to have his presence in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, like Sukkot represents like God's presence. In other words, like we're celebrating Tzilab D'Nei Minuta. So for that, we'll be zocha to have the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, fulfilling the mitzvah of lulav with joy will merit the coming of the Mashiach. And the Marsha is that this is why the Gemara calls the third reward the name of the Mashiach. Midrashic literature refers to Mashiach's name as Menachem, comfort. The name itself alludes to the joy that he will bring. Okay, well, let me just do just 1 second. Okay, and so that piece we did. Okay, one second. Give me 1 second, and then I'll do a little story, and then I'll pause. Okay, let me just get. I need to. My print is broken, so I don't have my sheets, but I do have. Let me see. All right. So this is for Michael. now you get. So it says, if you look at the story here, he says the Marsha says about that the name of Mashiach to which we refer is Menachem, which will merit through the mitzvah of lulav. Connection between these two concepts and the significance of the name of Mashiach, however, is not explained. So perhaps we can understand both these points with light of the famous disagreement at the time of the Napoleonic Wars, whereas many of the rebbes at the time felt it was an auspicious time for the arrival of Mashiach. Others, led by Naftali of Rupshitz, felt they did not anticipate such an arrival if it exacted such a high price in Jewish blood and suffering. This Gemara then would possibly be a proof to Rabbi Naftali. The name Menachem means a comfort. When the Gemara it's tells us... just hold on 1 second, but I'm glad you got the schuss. When the Gemara tells us that we will merit the name of Mashiach, this signifies that the redemption should come without suffering. In other words, Menachem. The way to merit this condition will be through the mitzvah of lulav, which according to Chazal signifies the weapons which we lift to celebrate our victory and judgment on Rosh Hashanah, making any of the war judgment necessary. In other words, he wants to say that Mashiach will be a time of, nechama, although it's not so pashut. In other words, like there's a medrash that says that what's a lulav? It's like when a person, I don't know, he leaves court or a battle, he's successful, he waves his weapons, and so lulav is like the sword. Anyway, so let's just summarize again. So we've been talking about the pasuk ach bayom harishon tashbitz sorim bateichem. So yesterday we learned that there's a limud that it means erev Pesach, and ach is chalek, divide the day into two. And so up until 12 noon, you can have chametz. After 12 noon, you can't have chametz. Then we quoted another pshat today that said, Barishon b'arba'asar yom l'chodesh, that we see explicitly that the Erev Pesach is called Rishon. At least that's the way the Gemara wants to darshan it out. Then we had another limud, and that was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, that Rishon doesn't mean the first. It means like what comes before, like but with the Pasuk and Eov. He says, Eliphaz HaTemani says to Eov, he says, HaRishon Adam Tivaled, were you there before man was created? It doesn't mean Rishon first, the way we would say it. And then we went through a whole shtickle Torah about where else where it says Rishon with these other Harishon and these other three psukim. So the Gemara has a different limit for it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything that I did so far?
Okay, I'm a little confused about the concept of a day. Okay, we've been discussing whether if it says Harishon, it's let's just pick a day. Instead of Thursday being the first day, it's the day before, which is Wednesday. But isn't a day for the purposes of these festivals the night of one day and the day of the next day? So, in other words, you're not making it a two-day festival by making it Wednesday night and Thursday, are you? You're making it 25 hours.
Yeah. So the Gemara is saying that this pasuk ach bayom harishon is referring to erev Pesach. That's the first yisod. So ach bayom rishon on the yom rishon, you should dispose of your chametz. Is talking about erev Pesach. That's the first yisod.
Right, so it doesn't have to be
okay.
Night.
The day of erev Pesach, you should dispose of it. That's the way the Gemara understands it. Then it says ach. The word ach means chalek, to divide it. So I have to divide the day into two. So part of the day, chametz is permissible, and part of the day, chametz is prohibited. That's the way the Gemara understands the pasuk. All right?
No, but not the day before.
No.
If Passover started on a Thursday.
That was a second opinion.
First day of Yontif is Thursday, so Ach Bayom Rishon is talking about Wednesday. So it's saying on Wednesday you have to dispose of the chametz.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's correct. Now
okay.
I got it. You are right.
Okay.
So it's like till yeah, now I get it.
Okay. Who else has got questions, comments, and thoughts? Anybody else? Everybody happy? It's nice to see a nice cover here today. Welcome, everybody. Who's SA2, by the way? Who's SA2? Identify yourself, SA2. SA2? Who's SA2?
That's my brother, Shaya. We're learning Daf Yomi together.
Okay, welcome. I just don't like people appearing who don't identify themselves. But Shaya, welcome. Shaya, can you answer? All right.
Shaya Abitan. I don't know if he knows how to use this thing.
All right. Let me move on. Okay. Anyway,
yes. Hi.
Okay, Shaya. I'd love to see you even more than seeing your name. I'd love to see you. Anyway,
next time.
Maybe. All right. Aaron Moshe, did you want to say anything about Rav Naftali Rapshitz? You want to say?
No. What am I going to say? You know who Rav Naftali Rapshitz was.
But his
Talmidim were the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim was one of his Talmidim.
But he's one of your ancestors?
He's my great grandfather.
Okay. It's a big zechus. A zechus to have an ear anakol of Rav Naftali Rapshitz with us tonight. Okay. All right, let's take a look. We're back in the Gemara. We're learning another Raya that we destroyed, disposed of the chametz on Erev Pesach. We disposed of the chametz. We're around 10 lines from the bottom on Hayim and Aleph, around 6 lines above where it gets wide. Rava Amar Mehacha. Rava says we can deduce it from the following pasuk. Lo tishchal chametz dam zivchi. Don't shecht on chametz the blood of my offering, which means lo tishchal pesach v'adayin chametz kayam. In other words, at the time you shecht the korban pesach, the paschal sacrifice, you should not be in possession of any chametz. He says, so you can shecht the korban pesach after chatzot. And so it says, lo tishchal chametz dam zivchi. So you shouldn't shecht it if you have chametz in your possession. So that means that you got it. So I can shecht the korban pesach after chatzot. It means after chatzot, I shouldn't have chametz. He says, ve'ema kol chabachad ki shachit. So maybe everybody has a different time. In other words, I don't have to shecht the korban pesach at 12 noon. I can do it at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Actually, Chazal teaches later in the Masechta that they had three shifts in the Beis HaMikdash. So I could go to the last shift on Erev Pesach. So maybe I don't have to dispose of the chametz the last shift. So the Gemara says, Zman Shechita Marachmana. So it says, like, Lochcha Chametz al Dam Zivchi. So he says that there's one, in other words, Zman Shechita Marachmana. In other words, the Torah isn't giving a different Zman for everybody. In other words, it's the Zman for Shechita. In other words, it's not individualized. There's one Zman for Shechita, and Zman Shechita begins with Chatzot. So Mela, you have to get rid of the Chametz by Chatzot. Okay, Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a brisa that supports this. It says, Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbit Zorm Batechem. On the first day, you should dispose of your chametz. Is Me'er of Yantiv. So the brisa says it means on Erev Yantiv. Maybe it means on the first day of Yontiv, I should dispose of my chametz, right? Tamid lomar lo tishchal chametz dam zevchi. So the other pasuk says, don't shecht, you know, the korban pesach when you have chametz. He says lo tishchal pesach chametz kiyam divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So that's the limud that the Tana Rabbi Shmuel has. The brisa continues. Rabbi Kiva omer eno tzar. Rabbi Kiva says it's a nice raya, but I don't need that. Says on the first day you should dispose of the chametz. Uchtiv kol malacha lo yease bahem. He says you shouldn't do any malacha on yantiv. Umatzin lavara she av malacha. We know havara, burning a fire, is an av malacha. Now the Gemara is going to say that Rabbi Akiva holds that ein biur chametz el streifa. In other words, according to one opinion of the Gemara, the only way to dispose of the chametz is by burning it. So if the Torah tells me I have to burn it, but I'm not allowed to create a fire on Yontiv, and we'll see in the Gemara, we'll elaborate more on this. So Mamela can't be, the pshat can't be that I'm supposed to dispose of the chametz on Yontiv because I can't burn it then, okay? He says...
But you can make a fire on Yontiv.
You can't make a fire on Yontiv, correct.
Cannot. On Yontiv?
I can't strike a match on Yontiv, right? I could add on to
fire. You could transfer a fire.
Yeah, but I can't create a fire. Okay, all right. Hang tight. One minute. We'll come to this. Okay, just 1 minute. Okay, so let me finish. Then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino Tzar. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't need that limud. Harei Omer Ach Bayom Hashon Tashvit Sur Bateichem. He says, on the first day, you should dispose of chametz from your houses. May erev yomtiv. So it means erev yomtiv. When it'll be yomtiv, maybe it's yomtiv. Talmud Lomar ach chalek says ach by yom rishon. They say by yom rishon is ach by yom rishon. Ach means like some of the day applies one way, some of the day a different way. He says v'i b'yomtiv atzmo mishari. Now if it would be 1 second, he says if it would be on the day of yomtiv itself. Yeah. So you can't even keep chametz for part of that day. He says ha'itka shashpata tzur lachilat chametz. And this is what we had at the beginning of the daf in yesterday's daf. We did it. He says, in other words, disposing of the leaven is linked to eating chametz. In other words, the prohibition against eating chametz. In other words, he says, "Ba'achilat chametz la'achilat matzah." Achilat chametz, the proscription against eating chametz is connected to eating matzah. So eating matzah, you know, begins that night. So I can't eat chametz that night. It's the night I eat matzah. I can't eat chametz at night. So I certainly can't have the chametz in my rishus that night. So I can't. So the pshat, the alternative pshat that means to dispose of the chametz on yantiv doesn't make sense. So let me do 5 more lines and we'll start. I'm a Rava, Shmaminam, Rabbi Akiva Tlat. So from Rabbi Akiva's statement, Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that it says, Ach bayom shin tashpiz rotechem, and I know that I can't do malach on yantiv. So from here I can learn 3 things. Shmaminam ain bir chametz el strefa. I see that Rabbi Akiva holds that the only way to dispose of chametz is by burning, which I think is the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, right? The Rabbi Yehuda holds it away. Ain bir chametz el strefa, and dafka falaf. So the preferable way, you know, to destroy the chametz is by burning the chametz. But for us, but we in other words, chametz hold you could dispose it in any way, but more preferably you want to burn the chametz because that's the way Rabbi Yehuda says you could fulfill the only way you could fulfill it. He says ushmamina havar lechalek yatzat. Now this machlok in the Gemara says lo tovaru esh b'chol moshvotechem b'yom haShabbat. Don't kindle, you know, fire in any of your dwelling places on the Sabbath. So the question is, why does the Torah say lo tavaru esh? The Torah says lo tasa kol malacha. So why does it single out lo tavaru esh? So it's machloket in the Gemara. So one says lav yatzat. One says that if a person, you know, kindles a fire on Shabbos or Yantiv, so on, it means on Shabbos he wouldn't be chayev misa for it. He'd be chayev malkot. It's just a lav. But the other opinion, and the Gemara says this must be the way Rabbi Akiva holds, he says that Havara l'chalek yatzat, that Havara is to teach me that each one is a separate lav. In other words, so if I knew today was Shabbos and I did all the malachot, I'm chayav a different korban for each malacha. So the 1 second. Yeah. Just give me 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. Okay, 1 second. And then he says, Shmamina lo amrinan hoel b'hutra havara l'sorech huchinam yishlol l'sorech. This is your point, really, Yosef. He says, don't say that since Havara, I'm allowed, you're right, everybody agrees I can't start a fire, but I can you know, add on to a fire for cooking purposes, right? I can add on for cooking purposes. He says, we don't say, Hoel v'hutra Havara l'tzorech, since I'm allowed to do kol nefesh, Huchanami shlo l'tzorech. It's permissible not for that. Okay, give me 1 second, 1 second, then I'll take some questions. Give me 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. 1 second before this. Right. So within Rabbi Akiva, let me see, Rabbi Akiva.
30 years ago.
Yeah. Right. So right. Since Rabbi Akiva says Matzinu l'havara she av malacha, that's what he's focusing on. So anyway, so Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't make sense to say that we'd have to dispose of the chametz on the first of Yontiv, because Havara is an Av Malacha. So the way he understands, so from we're deducing from Rabbi Akiva 3 Dinim, the Rabbi Akiva holds, Ein Bior Chamis El Strefa. The only way to dispose of the Chamis is through burning it. And the second is Havara L'Chalak Yatzah. In other words, Havara is an Av Malacha. And when it says Lo Tavar Weis, it's telling me a separate Chiyuv Chatat. And second and thirdly, that it was even if Havara, in other words, you're right, Yosef, in other words, even if Havara, I could throw a log on the fire because I want to cook something, But I don't say since mitoch shehutra l'tzorach, since it's permissible for tzorach ochal nefesh, I don't say it's permissible for other purposes according to Rabbi Akiva. So in other words, there's a question in the Gemara: if malacha is loud for, you know, tzorach ochal nefesh, is loud for other purposes as well? So here the Rabbi Akiva doesn't subscribe to that. In other words, if something's permissible for tzorach ochal nefesh, so I can't use it to dispose of the chametz. That's where we're taking from Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so let me just summarize, and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So the idea is, again, we're giving further rayas that it means Achbar Rishon means on the Erev Pesach. So one raya was from Rabbah, Lo Tishchadol Chametz Dam Zevchi, that I can't shech the Korban Pesach when I'm in possession of chametz. So I shech the Korban Pesach on the afternoon of Erev Pesach, I cannot be in possession of chametz. That's straightforward. Then the Gemara quoted a braisa, basically, which kind of went through sheet that we had before. So one was the Lo Tishchametz Dam Zevchi. Then we had Rabbi Akiva says, I'm not allowed to, you know, create a fire to dispose of chametz on Yontiv, and because that's the, so can't be the first of Yontiv. And then Rabbi Yossi said that it has to be Erev Yontiv, because I'm not allowed to be in possession of chametz on Yontiv. And we learned from the connection of Psukim. Okay, who's had questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that I said so far?
How do you see this Havara is the Chalek according to Rabbi Akiva based on what he said?
Yeah, because he said that it was an Av Malacha. That's what the Gemara is taking. He says in the Braisa, he says on the third wide line, he says, Umatzin la Havara shi'i Av Malacha. So when he says that Havara is an Av Malacha, the Gemara is extrapolating that's what he's telling. All right.
He hold the only way to destroy Chametz is by burning?
Is that the
best way to do it?
No. The Tana Reb Yehuda, who we haven't had yet, it's coming up later on in Kol Sha'ah, he holds Ein Bior Chametz El Estreifa. The only way to dispose of chametz is through burning it.
What would he say on it? Like this year coming up, it falls out on Shabbat. How would you destroy the chametz?
Yes, I don't know how the Tana Reb Yehuda would say to do that this year. In Achinami, 1 second, 1 second. Yeah, if you look in the Mishnah, it's the first Mishnah in Kol Sha'ah, in Daf Chaf Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Bior Chametz El Estreifa. The only way to destroy the chametz is through Estreifa. So let me see. Right. All right. I'm not sure what he would say to do this year. I must say I don't know what he would say to do this year. Okay. But so the Gemara takes it that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. All right, we got a good team. You're looking very suspicious there, Fern. I don't know. You gotta go.
So I have a question.
I think that
Okay, let me hear Ruth. Come out from behind the curtain, Ruth.
Behind the curtain, Ruth. So, yeah. So what is an alternative to burning it? Just simply tossing it into a garbage?
Again, according to the Tana Reb Yehuda, you must burn the chametz. That's according to the Tana Reb Yehuda. Okay. The Chachamim disagree with him. We haven't come to this yet. It's on Daf Chaf Aleph 21 in the Mishnah. Chachamim say, "Af mefarer b'zorah l'ruach u'matil yam." The Chachamim say, "You can crumble it up and throw it to the wind, or throw it into the ocean." In other words, according to the Chachamim, you could flush it down the toilet. You could do anything to get rid of the chametz. But Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein bir chametz el estreifa." It has to be burned.
So you heard Yosef's question. What if it's on a Shabbos?
Yes, I don't know. I have to look. I don't know. Okay, now. What else you got? Fern, you want to say something?
I just thought we sort of put this to bed on yesterday's daf, which I was
We did. We're putting more and more nails in the coffin. That's where we do it. One nail, then another nail, and then we got it. Now it's a
But it's deal. Not like there was a pircha and any raya. They were all
right,
good.
Right, all good. Okay. All good. Okay. All right. Everybody good? Okay, I'm going to move on. All right. And it's nice to have such a nice large group here tonight here at Kananahara. Let's see. How many we got? We got, I don't know.
So 14.
Me and 13. Okay, very nice. Very nice. And on Sunday, you have a treat. You have Michal Shimon at 8 o'clock with Daf Chet. Now, this Shabbos is Daf Zion, which is the sugya on the Nusach of the Bracha. When do you say, Lamed, and when do you say Al? When do you say Al B'yur Chameitz? In other words, when do you say Likboa Mezuzah? And when do you say Al Biur Chameis? When do you say Le? And when do you say Al? It's this coming Shabbos. Now, I'm hoping the weather forecast is for the 50s this Shabbos. So weather permitting and Sal permitting, we'll learn outside. But this might be the last Shabbos of the season, I must say, because it's the end of November. And in December, I don't think it's going to be quite that warm. But we'll see how we get there. We'll see when we get there. All right. Let's take a look. Okay. So now we're on Hey Amid Beis. All right, we're on the fifth line in Hamid Beis. Everybody with me? Okay, so Tan Rabbanan, Shivat Yimim Su'or L'Yimatzeh V'Atecha. Now, this is Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh. There's two Lavim that you can't have Chametz in your possession. One is, the Torah says, Lo Yira Elecha Chametz. Chametz shouldn't be seen in your possession, and Lo Yimatzeh, it shouldn't be found in your possession. So Tan Rabbanan, Shivat Yimim Su'or L'Yimatzeh V'Atecha. It says in Parshat Bo that Su'or Levin shouldn't be found in your homes. Matam Lomar. Now, the pasuk is flipped over here, and he makes the notation on the side. He says, the su'or and chamesh should be seen in your gvul. So what do I need both pasukim? So the Bryce says, lefisha ne'mar lo yirulecha su'or, shalcha yataroa talbaroa shalachayrim v'shal gavoa. He says, so in other words, let's say I only had the second pasuk. Lo yira lecha chametz v'su'or. So lecha, for it shouldn't be seen from yours, he says, aval tov shel acherim. Shel acherim means non-Jews. In other words, I could have non-Jews own chametz in my possession, and I shel gavoa. If somebody was makdish chametz to the base of Mikdash, that could be in my possession. In other words, I'm not over on bal yira b'yimatzeh if I have it there. So yachol yatmin v'kabel pikdonot min anachri. So I might have thought that I could take my chametz and bury it in the ground, and then I would not transgress on lo yira lecha, lo yira lecha. V'kabel pikdonot min anachri. Or I could accept deposits from a non-Jew, and I would be okay. Now, the Gemara is going to explain. We don't know this yet. The Gemara is going to say that I could have non-Jewish chametz in one of two ways. One way is it's just his chametz, and the other is, the Gemara is going to say, where downstairs on the third white line, had the kabbalah achrayas, if he accepted responsibility for the chametz. So we'll see, this machloket rishonim, what does it mean he accepted responsibility for the chametz? Was he paid by the goy or whatever? But in a certain point in time, not every situation when the goy leaves me with chametz, can I have it there? So I might have thought I could bury my chametz, or I could accept pikdonot min anachri. Tamun lomar lo yimatzeh. So the person pasuk lo yimatzeh tells me that's not good. In other words, lo yira shouldn't be seen, but if it's buried, it's found. But so I'm transgressing that other love. And then the pikdonot, it was also prohibited. In other words, I shouldn't have it in my possession under any circumstances. Now, we don't understand these lines so clearly, but we'll see, and the Gemara will explain, hopefully. We think it's talking about the Isur. In other words, I can't accept pikdonot from the Nachri, deposits from the Goy. So I don't know what Goy, Shlo Kibashto, means not under my dominion control, which really means he's not like a Ger Toshav. It was he's totally estranged from any, you know, Yahadus. Ve'in Sharim Chabachasir, he doesn't live in the same Chasir with me. The Gemara will ask on this. How do I know that if he lives with me in the Chatzir, even if he's got nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, or Shekib Ashto, or he's a Ger Toshav, he accepts seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, how do I know that even then he's prohibited? So he says that it shouldn't be found under any circumstance. So I only know if the Chametz is in your house. He says, how do I know I transgress if the chametz is in the pit, in the ditch, or the cave? It says b'chol gvulcha. I'll explain in a minute. But b'batim over mishum bal yera bal yimatzei. So in other words, the Gemara is saying each pasuk is filling in something more that I didn't know from the other pasuk. We'll see in a minute. He says v'adayin ani omer, but I could still say. Now again, the first pasuk mentions the bayit, says lo yimatzei bibateichem, in your house. The second pasuk mentions in your gvul, in your borders. So v'adayin ani omer bibatim over mishum bayiro bayimatzei. In other words, if it's in my bayit, so I'll be over. In other words, bayiro is in any my gvul, so certainly I'll be over. And bayimatzei uval yatmin, I can't bury it, that I know. Uval yikabel pikdonim anachri, that I know. But Bigvulin, if it's not in my house, it's in my Gvulin, it's in my larger property, so then there I know that I can have from other people. But where do I know that the Kulas and Chumras of each Pasuk are transferable one to Pasuk to the other? And I'll summarize in a minute. Tamalomar, Soor, Soor, Lekzerishavo. So it says Soor, Leaven, in each Pasuk. And one of the hermeneutic principles is Gzeir Shava, so it sets up a line of communication. Nemar Su'or B'batim, Su'or Lo Yimatzei B'Batechem. It says Su'or, says Lo Yimatzei B'Batechem. Nemar Su'or B'Gvulin. It says Su'or in the Gvulin. Lo Yireh Lecha Su'or B'Chol Gvulecha. Masu'or Mu'or B'Batim, Over Mishum Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzei, Uval Yachmin, Uval Yikab B'Zerum and Nachrim. So it means like this. In the Pasuk Bal Yimatzei, so I know that I can't bury the chametz, even though I can't see it. So in other words, I transgress if I bury my chametz, even though I can't see it, but I'm still going to be over bal yimatzei, shouldn't be found in my premises, so that I'm over. And then we said the bal yimatzei is also teaching me a lav that I can't accept pikdonot min anachrim. I can't accept deposits from the goyim. And we said the Gemara is going to explain where I accept responsibility for it. He says afs or hamur bigvulin. So in the other pasuk, he says over mishum bal yira bal yimatzei ubal yachmin ubal yikab pikdonot min anachrim. So I'm also over on that in anywhere in my gvul, anywhere in my property. He says, and I'm over on two lavim bal yira bal yimatzei. Umasaor amur bigvulin, and saor the bigvulin, shalchaya taroa, batal roa, shalachim, shalkavoa. So I could see if it belongs to the goyim and at war to kakdesh. Asur mabatim, shalchaya taroa, batal roa, shalachim, shalkavoa. All right, let me summarize again. So we have two psukim in the Torah. One is bayira, one is bayimatsei. They both say, I can't have chametz in my possession over Pesach. That we know. In other words, there's a lav, I can't have chametz in my possession, and there's an essay, ach bayom rishon tashbitu, I have to dispose of the chametz. So if I have chametz in my possession, I transgress two lavim, right? One is bal yiraya, one is bal yimatzei. And if I don't dispose of it, I'm also mabatel an essay. Okay, so that's clear. So the Torah here, the Gemara here is teasing out, what is the difference between bal yiraya and bal yimatzei? They both seem like they're saying the same thing. I shouldn't have chametz in my possession. So the Gemara darshened out one thing, but it says initially with Bal Yiraya, he says, Shalchaya Taroa, Matashuim Shalchim Shal Gaboa, that I can't have my chametz, but I can have a goy's chametz I can have in my possession. I'm allowed to have a goy's chametz, subject to what we said before, where with the piktono, where I accept responsibility for it. But if I don't accept responsibility, you know, my next door neighbor just leaves his Italian loaf in my backyard, and I didn't accept any responsibility for it, so I don't transgress for that. That's from Lo Yireh Lecha, Shalcha Yetaroa, Tashroa Shalchem Shalgaboa. And similarly, if it belonged to Hekdesh, if the chametz belong to Hekdesh, and it's on my property, I'm not over for it. That's one thing we have. So then the Gemara said, well, but maybe I could bury my chametz. So it's Lo Yireh Lecha, I shouldn't see the chametz. Maybe I could bury the chametz under the ground or bury it somewhere, and I don't see it. So then I'm under the radar, Lo Yireh Lecha Sa'or. So he says, or maybe I could accept pikdonot min anachri. I could accept deposits from the goyim. And the Gemara hasn't explained this yet, but it means I could accept chametz from a non-Jew, where I accept responsibility for the chametz. So the Gemara learns that's excluded by Bal Yimatzeh. The Pasuk Bal Yimatzeh is excluding that. Because Bal Yimatzeh doesn't, it means it shouldn't be found anywhere in your premises. Anywhere, it shouldn't be found anywhere. So even if you can't see it, it shouldn't be found there. And shouldn't be found, even, it sounds like the way the Gemara is darshening out, even if it's the goyim, but you accept the responsibility, it shouldn't be found there. So then the Gemara said, in the pasuk with Bal Yimatzeh, it only mentions the house, in the bayit, in the house. He says, how do I know that I'm chayiv if I have the chametz and it's in the bor, the siach, or the ma'ara? It's in the ditch, it's in the cave, it's whatever. So he says, b'chol gvulecha. So the Gemara learns different things are covered with different psukim. Then the Gemara learns that I'm over on both Bal Yireh and Bal Yimatzeh for both. Both psukim are linked up with the word sa'or, and it's linking up. So the kulas and the chumras are both fit into both. So whatever kulas I learned by one apply to the other. Whatever chumras I learned by one applies to the other. That's the basic idea. Okay, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on anything?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just from we learned before the previous days, once you make bittul, right? We say, I think we learned that midyaraisa, you're not over.
Right.
So you're not over by your matzah either. Is that correct or no?
That's correct. If you made a true bittul on a deraisa level, you're not over on by your matzah. That's true.
And you take but we said you still check, get rid of it because you're worried you might eat it. That's what Tosafot said.
That's the Bali Tosafot, right? There's a chiyuv to do
b'dika. So what about the guy's stuff? If you take the guy's stuff, we're not worried you're going to eat his stuff?
So I assume that it's his property. I assume that you know we're not afraid you're going to take eat his property. That's what I assume. I assume not.
Well, like goy stuff you can't keep if you're accepting responsibility for it.
Right. Well, we said right. It's we have to tease this out. The Gemara is going to clarify.
Why Yosef? Why?
The Braisa says. Yeah, the Braisa says in one line in the Braisa it says shalachirim, non-Jews chametz you could have on your premises. But then it says a pikadon. A deposit from a non-Jew you can't accept.
But you can't make bittul on his chametz. Either way, whether you take responsibility or not. Right.
Right, clearly, right.
So it's no bittul for you. So right. Is it, we don't take the guy's stuff, the manav shech, either way, because we're worried we're going to eat it? Or why don't
Let's go back in.
I got confused over this going
stuff. Okay. So the first we have to just clarify what is the Torah prohibiting? Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh. So you're like three steps ahead with this Tosfos, with the Bittul, the Bdik, and the whole thing. The first Yisod is, am I over on Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh? So the Gemara says that sometimes it could be the non-Jews chametz, I'm not over on Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh, and sometimes I will be over on Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh. So in other words, where I accept responsibility for it means I'm liable if anything happens to the chametz, so then for these purposes, we view it like my chametz. So the fact that I might or might not eat it isn't entering into this equation.
So bittul doesn't help you. So you're worse off with the guy's chametz, is my point. In other words,
right.
You can't make bittul.
Right.
You can't take it.
100% correct.
And you're over a deraisa, it sounds like, right?
Right. That's correct. Okay. All right. I think Yisrael's got a question. Let's hear Yisrael. You got to unmute yourself. Unmute yourself, Yisrael. Good.
if it applies to someone who's responsible for the chametz, then how are we able to sell chametz on our property to a Gentile?
No. Again, the Gemara here is talking the opposite case. We're talking about having a non-Jew's chametz on my property. You're talking, right. No. You're right. So we sell our chametz and we lease the premises to the goy. So that's this case. That's this case. Oh. It's a little bit more than this. In other words, not only do we sell the chametz to him, but we lease the premises that where the chametz is. That's what we're doing. You're right. That's this kula that I can have chametz on my premises if it's the goy's chametz. That's this gemara. You're right. That's it.
If you have to lease it has to be leased to the goy as well.
Well, right. We also lease the location where the chametz is. Right. We lease the premises also to him. Yep. All right. Now, okay. Let me move on. I'm going to move on. Okay. Let's take a look now. All right. So I think we're up Amar Mar, right? That's what we're up to, right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so we're around, 10 lines above where it gets wide. We're at the two dots. So the Gemara quoted this long brisa, and it was a long brisa. Now the Gemara, as it does so often, is going to take down the brisa, piece by piece. Amar Mar, now one line in the brisa said, Ein li ela b'nachri. Now again, the brisa said that I cannot accept pikdonot deposits from the goyim. It's a tricky. The Bryce says I could have some non-Jewish chametz, but I can't accept to be kind of the deposit from the goy. And then Amar, we had the statement in the Bryce, Ein li'el b'nachri shlo kibashto v'ein shrimu chabachatzer. I only know we think it's talking about the Isur. I can't accept pikdonot. I would think from a goy, shlo kibashto means he's not a ger toshav. In other words, he's Obed Avodah Zarah. He says v'ein shrimu chabachatzer, or he doesn't live with me in the same chatzer. Nachri shikibashto, but if a goy who's a ger toshav, the shurim chabachatzer, or he's living in the same chatzer minayin, where do I know that I'm also prohibited? Samatoma lo yimatzei. So the Gemara is kalapi lai. What direction is this going? In other words, more logically, the Gemara is dividing goyim into two categories, or actually two different categories. One, the goyim that live with you in the same chatzer, and the goyim that live far away, even if they're not accepting any mitzvos. And then goyim that accept the shavu mitzvot b'nei noach. So the Gemara says, of the two goyim, which one would I look at view as more as being mine? So the Gemara takes it the goy who's observing the shavu mitzvot b'nei noach, and he's giving me, give me the chametz to watch it. So that's more likely I would view it as mine, or he's in the chatzer I view it as mine. So it was usually. I know the pasuk for the simple case. I need the pasuk for the more complicated case. Here, the Gemara began with the more complicated case is going to the simple case. The simple case is where he's a ger toshav, where he's living in the chatzer. So he says, "So Amar Abaye Epoch." So Abaye says I should flip over the brisa. In other words, the brisa should read that now I know I can't accept a pikadon from a goy who lives in my chatzer or a goy who's a ger toshav. Where do I know that even if he's not a ger toshav, where he doesn't live in my chatzer, that I can't accept the chametz from him. Rava Amar, Liolon Lo Tepuk. Rava says, leave the brice alone. Va'aresha koi. And this line about the goyim being, keep a kvushim tachtecha, or living in the chatzer, is not talking about the Esor, it's talking about the kula. He says, shalchaya taroa, abataroa shalachem, shal gavawa. You're allowed to have a certain non-Jewish chametz and hekdesh. So concerning that kula, I only know a goy shaloki bashto that didn't accept the shemitz vopene noach, and he doesn't live with you in the chatzer. Nachri shekibashto shem chabachatzer minayin. How do you know that you have the heter even if he accepts the shemitz vopene noach? He's closer to you, He says, and he lives, or he didn't, but he lives with you in the same chatzer. How do I know that I could have his chametz? Tamalomar lo yimatzei. So the Gemara says, "V'hai tana mahadra hatera v'nasiv kura le'isura." This tana is looking for a heter, but the pasuk that he quotes, "Lo yimatzei," doesn't seem to teach me any heterim. In other words, the heterim we learned were from the other pasuk, "Lo yira elacha." So why is he quoting the pasuk "Lo yimatzei lecha"? He says, "Mishum shenemar l'cha l'cha trei zimnei. So it says l'cha. There's another pasuk in Parshas Re'eh where it says lo yir l'cha chameis v'lo yir l'cha se'or b'chol g'vulcha. So there's an extra l'cha there. So sometimes we don't need l'cha there. So Gemara is going to apply it to this pasuk of lo yimatzei l'cha. All right. Anyway, the basic idea the Gemara wants to say is, so we touched up those lines in the Braisa. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far?
What does taking responsibility mean?
It's coming up. Give me three lines and we'll talk about it. It's Machloket Rishonim. Okay. So the first wide line downstairs. We're going to see in 3 minutes. Okay. The first wide line. So, okay. So Amar Mar, Yechol Yamim Mikabel Pekdonot Min HaNochrim. I might have thought that you could bury the Chametz or accept deposits from Goyim. Tamalomar lo yimatzei. So the Gemara says, I understand. Here he's telling me I can't accept the non-Jews' chametz. He says, Ha'amri reish shel chai teruah shel roish shel chem shel gavoah. In the earlier line, you said I could accept the non-Jews' chametz. So which is it? Am I allowed to have a non-Jews' chametz on my premises or not allowed to have it? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha. Hadakabilei achrayot, hadlo kabilei achrayot. It depends on whether the Jew accepted responsibility for the chametz. So we'll see in a minute. He says, "Ki hada amar luhu Rava lebnei Mechuzah." Like Rava said to the people of Mechuzah, which was his city, "Beiru chamiru debnei chelam ibataychu." Like dispose of the chametz from the soldiers that are in your house. The chametz is in your house. He says, "Kaven diilu migniv ilu mitvid birshutaychu koi." He says, "Since if it would be stolen or lost, so then you would be responsible to make compensation for it. So you have to pay for it. So kidil chon dami v'asur. So that's considered like yours and it's prohibited." Okay, now we're going to do one of our sheets now. 1 second. Let me do split screen again. Here. All right. Robert, you looking? You see
I'm
the sheet?
I'm staring.
Okay. You see my arrow here? Do you see?
Yeah.
Okay, so this Machloket Rishonim. The first school of Rishonim maintains that only when the Jew is fully liable for the chametz, i.e. that he's being paid by the non-Jew and is thus culpable for theft and loss, does he transgress the law. That's one opinion. The second school is more stringent, and they rule that even an unpaid guardian, a Shomer Chinam, who's only responsible for negligence, still transgresses. The most stringent opinion even obligates a Jew who has no halakhic responsibility to guard the chametz, but that the non-Jew would coerce him into replacing it if it was lost, then he's chayev. So there's a wide range on this. So the Mishnah Berurah states that a person should preferably follow the most stringent opinion and sell even chametz of this type. However, returning the chametz to its owners, anyway, you get the idea. So I'm going to go back, okay? So anyway, so the idea is that if you have responsibility for the chametz, so you're over on Bayira Bayimatzeh. All right, give me 1 minute. Let me finish up the Gemara, and then we'll say a few more words. I don't have to go for late Marv tonight, but let's just wrap it up. So the Gemara says, okay, now 3 lines from the bottom on Mahay Amid Beis. Everybody with me? So the Gemara says, Hanich l'man damar, dvarim gorim l'mamon, k'mamon dami. Now, this machloket in the Gemara, let's say, sometimes a person steals kachim, and the person, has to, in other words, the person was makdish the animal, but he has to make it up, right? Like he said, like he made a neder. He said, the person said, hare alai. So if the animal, something happens to the animal, he's got to make up a new animal. In other words, for the korban. He designated one animal to satisfy his neder, his oath. And the oath was hare alai. But if somebody happens to the animal, he's going to make a new animal. So if a person steals that animal, so the question in the Gemara is he chayev, kefel. So if I say davar hagorim lama, in other words, on one hand, the person doesn't own the animal anymore because he was makdish it. But on the other hand, if by stealing it, now you're obligating the person to come up with a new animal. So in that way, he does own it. So the Gemara says here, Hanich l'man damar, darvam gul l'mamon k'mamon dami. So according to the person who says, liability, if I have liability if the object disappears, that's the same as owning it. So then I understand. So here with this non-Jew's chametz, something happens to it, I'm on the hook for it. So that's like owning the chametz. That works out well. El l'man damar lav k'mamon dami. But according to another opinion in the Gemara, it's not like I own it. So he says, "My iklamemar." So what am I supposed to say? How do I understand what the Bryce is saying? Why am I prohibited from having the non-Jews pikadon? Says Shani Haka da Amar lo yimatse. In other words, so he'll say that even if I hold davar gom the mamon lav kamamon dami, the fact that I'm, you know, that I may be responsible to make compensation doesn't mean it's mine. Nevertheless, for this mitzvah, for bal yira bal yimatse, it is mine because the Torah says lo yimatse. It specifically includes it. So ika da amri. Others say the conversation went like this: anich lamad damar davar gom the mamon lav kamamon dami. Top line of Bava Aleph, Hainu de Isri lo yimatse. So yimatse is, you know, to include Badafka, that case where even though it's not like my property, but I am transgressing this Bal yimatse. Elamandamar kamamon dame, but it's the one who says it's like my money, lo yimatse lamali. Why do I need lo yimatse? I know it logic. I know it without the extra words, I know that I'm chayav on it. So Isri, Sachate Chamina. I would think that since if the comments exist, I have to give that comments back to the original owner. So he says, so it's not his. So Kamash Milan. So it teaches me that this then it is. Anyway, so the point is that if you have responsibility for the non-Jews chametz, so then you are over on Bal Yira Bal Yimatse. Okay, now give me one second. Now I don't know if I should get into this, but he has a whole piece. What about a Jew's chametz, which is a non-Jew's house on Pesach? What's going to be doing with that? So let me just see. All right, I think I'm going to leave this out. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did tonight? You look puzzled, Robert. Are you okay?
So when you say responsibility, it's almost like a bailment.
Right. That's exactly what it is. All right.
But if the goy, if the Gentile brought it over and left it in your house and you said you're not taking, if you affirmatively said, I'm not taking responsibility, you're bringing it here at your own risk.
No bailment. Yeah.
Yes, that's what we spoke about. Remember our three opinions. Let's go back to the three opinions. The last opinion was, well, street opinion. He says he has a no halakhic responsibility. The non-Jew would coerce him to replace it if it was lost. In other words, if there's a way that the non-Jew could obligate me to replace it, if under any case scenario, according to the most stringent opinion, there's a route where the non-Jew could force me to replace it,
right.
Then I transgress it. But if under there's no scenario under which I can have any obligation for the chametz, then I don't transgress by having his.
But do I have to declare that to the Gentile when he brings it? In other words, do I have to affirmatively put him on notice?
Well, the thing is, the
because otherwise he might assume that I am taking responsibility.
See, this could turn on non-Jewish law. In other words, like if in non-Jewish law, then I could be coerced into paying for it. So then I'm obligated. So it might tell, you know,
but that would be like strict liability.
Yeah, in other words, so it might turn on, you know, New York, here in New York on New York state law. But the first two opinions were where again,
I followed the three. I was just trying to see how it would work out.
All right. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? What's up, Israel? Wait, Israel and Yosef, go.
If it's okay to sell the chametz in your house to a Gentile, and then lease the premises, and where you don't have responsibility anymore for it,
right?
Why can't you just sell everything in your house that's chametz, not even bother, getting rid of it all?
Well, you could sell all the chametz in your house. I mean, there's still a mitzvah of hush. There's a question, you know. There's a question that we've shown him. That there's still a mitzvah of hashbatas chametz. In other words, there's a mitzvah of me to dispose of some chametz, but I could sell all the chametz in my house. Let's say I'm going to Florida when people used to do that pre-COVID. So I could just sell all the chametz in my house, but I would also lease the premises to him as well. And then I wouldn't be able to live in the house. In other words, because I'm going to lease the premises where the chametz is found. So then I could do that. All right. And then Yosef, what do you want to have, Yosef?
Yeah, even if you're not responsible for the chametz, how come we're not worried that you might come and eat it?
That's what Pesach David was saying before.
Okay, what's
so
the answer?
So the only thing I could think of is that since it's not your chametz, that presumably you wouldn't go eating somebody else's food. It's not ideal, but I assume that's the only thing I could think of. I don't know. All right.
He leaves you a ham sandwich. You're not going to eat it.
Yeah. All right. But what if he has like the kosher Bella Chico bread? All right. Anyway, but that's the story. All right. I think I'm going to call it a night now. Let me end the recording. All right.